a couple weeks ago, because the theme in Unity for this month is claiming your truth, claiming the truth of who you are. And the spoiler alert of all of it is to who you are, and what I talk about hopefully every week is the truth of who you are, and we like to code it in the Christ consciousness. The reality is we are God, just as Jesus taught us. We're not the whole totality of God, but every aspect of who we are, God is within it. Because if we say that God is everywhere present, then God is everywhere present in its totality within every component of us. And even though we think that we are separate, we are actually all one collectively with everything else, which is a component of that all-encompassing God. And so it isn't blasphemy to say that I am God. Actually, it is our truth, just as Jesus was trying to teach us. And so we're going to talk about, as I promised a couple weeks ago, we're going to talk about and look at scripture. One of my absolutely favorite scripture is of the burning bush, because there lies so much treasure for us. A couple weeks ago, I talked about how we are always searching for God, yes? That's why we come to church. Usually we feel empty, we feel a void, and we are calling out to God. And no matter what the denomination is, we usually go to a church so that we can find God, so that we have a clue as to where God is at. And one of the beauties of Unity is that we teach, and it might be foreign to you if you're coming from a more traditional standpoint, but we teach that God is within each and every person, no matter how we act or act out, no matter how we try to block out the truth is that we all have the abundance of God within us. It depends on how we want to be seen. I spoke about how we sometimes go to a church, we go to a guru. You know, I know a lot of people, I know three people, who love to go to India. I know other people who don't like it because they see the poverty, the supposed stench, and their heart aches. The three people I'm talking about go to India and see the beauty, see the truth, see a people who are so spiritualized that they move forward. And I tell you that because a lot of people go to India to go to a guru, thinking that this guru is something more than that what they are. Just like people go to a church thinking that a minister or a rabbi or a priest is something more than they are, that they are these people, these gurus are closer to God. But the reality is that I would not be a spiritual teacher if I let you think that. Because the reality is that I am no less than or closer to God than any other person, nor is any guru. I reminded you, just think of the acronym GURU as glad you are you. Because a spiritual teacher, a real spiritual teacher, will not minimize you, will not bring you down, but would lift you up by telling you that you, my beautiful people, and I are the beloved of God. We are all the sons and daughters of God. That was the ultimate lesson of Jesus. And if we go into our Old Testament, I would love, and I'm going to reduce this because I realize also, first of all, that our announcements went long, but they were important announcements. So we try to clip them. I will try not to go too far over because you know how as ministers are, we love to talk sometimes, especially when we get into a juicy topic like this. So I'm going to skip through some of the stuff that I had before and just go right to the meat of it. I'm just going to talk about how Jesus, that there's two aspects of us that are continually competing. We think there are two aspects. It's an illusion. There is that human part of us, and we know that we're human. That's like the Son of Man that Jesus is called. We, from our biology, from our biological parents, We have the various aspects, and we look like them if we know who they are. That's the claim, and that's the proof that we are human. It is far less convincing to us that we're anything other than that. You know, I lived in the state of Missouri long enough to adapt to that. It's the show me state. And I think most of us humans believe, show me. That's where faith comes in, because we aren't always able, we aren't able to see God. We think we don't see God, but God is everywhere present. And it's harder for us to see God as ourselves. But the other component that we're always wrestling is that spiritual component, the actual truth of who we are. And so when I talk about Moses, I'm going to talk about how we are the holy ground. We're constantly going to India. We're constantly going into the wilderness to remind ourselves, thinking that that's the holy ground that we can impart, that will impart itself onto us. The truth of our being is that we are holy ground. Everything is holy ground, so long as we treat it that way, so that when we go into nature, when we go into these sacred places, they remind us of the truth of who we are. Because those special places are so filled and pure and so powerful that it reminds. We go into a memory of who we are. So from Exodus 3, allow me to read portions and kind of interject my favorite Bible story. Exodus 3. We're going to start in now. Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law, Jethro, the priest of Midian. And he, being Moses, led his flock to the west side of the wilderness. East is always sacred. West is, and it said it, wilderness. He went so far west, he went as far west as possible, right? Into the wilderness, into his thoughts of lack, limitation, scarcity. And he went into the mountain. He tried to find a higher source within these wild thoughts of his. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of a fire out of the midst of a bush. And he, being Moses, looked. He looked unto this bush which was burning and yet was not consumed. This bush had a flame, but it wasn't burning up. And Moses said, I will turn aside and see the great sight while the bush is not burnt. So can you imagine? Place yourself that you're trekking up a mountain or trekking wherever. Maybe it's a lamp that you see, but it's some sort of fire. And you look, there's no heat, but it's just a bright flame. It's not burning itself. And what would you think if you saw this? What? It's burning. How is it burning? I bet most of you would kind of think as you're examining it that you must be out of your mind. I must be going a little crazy. And the reality is, metaphysically, you are out of your mind. And that's where you want to be. You want to be out of your mind. You want to be out of the thoughts of the illusions of this world. You want to have this moment where you are in a spiritual awareness. That's what the burning bush is all about. Coming out of your thoughts of lack and limitation, coming out of your thoughts, of your present thoughts of this that's occupying your mind, coming out of the present thinking of personal limitations, coming out of the preconceived opinions of what life is right here and now, and coming out of your preconceived notions of who you are and what you are. You are coming out of your mind. And that is exactly where you want to be. And going back to the Bible, when the Lord saw that he, Moses, had turned aside to see God called to him out of the bush, Moses, Moses, and Moses said, here am I. Now, of course, in the more current translations, it says, "Here I am." But I picked this for a particular purpose because in the older English, it says that Moses says, "Here I am." And what this illustrates is that in the sacred moment, like I think most of us do, and maybe I can't speak for you, a lot of times I have done this. In that sacred time, when something special is illumined in front of you, your personality steps up just to reclaim its ground, right? I can't be seeing this. Here am I, reclaiming in the spiritual purpose my head, coming back into my own thinking. You follow me? Here you are standing forth, your ego, you can think of it like that, your personality making itself known and reestablishing itself on sacred ground. Then God said, "Do not come near. Put off your shoes from your feet, for the place upon which you are standing is holy ground." And God said, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." And Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. How many times have something miraculous come? How many times have you heard the voice of God and you've tried to hide yourself? That you've hid your face? Is it because you're scared of what God is going to ask? You're scared that God is going to ask you to do something that you think that you cannot do? Sometimes I did. I tell you, anyone who has heard my calling to ministry knows I ran the other way. I was like Jonah with the whale. I was like, "You want me to go where?" I think we've all done it. Is it that we think that God is asking us to sacrifice something that we cannot do? I tell you, God is not like a minister who, when you bring up a great idea, they say, "Well, that's a great idea. Why don't you do that for the ministry?" How many people have done that to a minister? Maybe not me. Okay, me. And I've said, "That's a beautiful idea. Maybe you can assist us in giving service. Will this minister do that again?" Well, yes, I have to tell you. But it doesn't mean that it isn't something that is done to bring more pain to you. It isn't done to lock you into anything. It is something that if you have a passion for it, God is speaking to you, do that for your own personal growth. Whatever component it is speaking through you. And that is exactly what God is doing, is speaking in and through Moses saying, "I hear you, my dearest. You are afflicted." Or maybe, just maybe, I throw this out to you. Maybe we hide our face from God because when we look at God, we see an aspect of ourselves that we're not ready to accept. Let me say that again. If God is everywhere present, and I am claiming that God is 100% within us, maybe the truth and the higher, the awesomeness of that truth scares us, and we hide. The Lord God continues, "I have seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt, and have heard the cries because of their taskmaster. And I know they're suffering." I find it interesting that God hears of the self-affliction because we believe that we are separate from God. Unity teaches that the sin, the original sin that we all do, is think that we are separate from God. That is the original sin of Adam and Eve when they separated themselves. It isn't that we're old, lowly sinners. It isn't that we are bad people inherently, that as humans, that we are bad people. Even if humanity is proving itself not to be in its right alignment with God, the ultimate truth is that we are not in alignment because we think we are separate from, that we are not that which Jesus claimed and tells us to claim, that we are one. But we still want to be in the am I, that personality, the I. God continues, I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, speaking of the Israelites, to bring them up out of the land of good and to the broad land and the land flowing with milk and honey to the place of the Canaanites. And now behold, the cry, the people of Israel have come to me, and I have seen the oppression of which the Egyptians oppressed them. Come, I will send you to the Pharaoh that you may bring forth my people, the sons of Israel, out of Egypt. So I want to stop there too. I think this gets washed over a lot. God says, my people. In our human form, when we talk about my people, what are we claiming? They're my tribe. They're equal to us. That there's a belonging to, yes? God says, I will send you to Pharaoh so that you will bring forth my people, and claims the sons of Israel. Now, a lot of times with that religion, we claim that it's only the Israelites. In metaphysics, the Israelites, the people for Israel, are people from a higher standing. There's a prayerful nation. There's a want to know itself as the beloved. Actually, in Hebrew, Israel means containing for God, striving for God, who prevails for God. But I like these definitions even better. A prince or a princess with God. In dominion with God. Relationship, rulership. Rulership with God. I think those definitions, and we can say with, we can say I'm with him, but he's a bigger, higher thing. That isn't the meaning of it. We can think that, or we can think that it is in combination, in partnership with, ruling and having dominion with God, as aspects of God. We are here to claim our truth and to move forward, not as a separate entity, but claiming our oneness. But I love this. This is one of my favorite reasons, these next passages. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the sons of Israel out? Who am I? Even in the song, doesn't that bring up a question? Am I? Who am I versus I am? I find it interesting that, especially in this translation, it is exactly that big question that we all ask. Am I? What am I? Who am I? And Moses is saying this, is asking that question within himself. And he asks it here. Who am I? Why am I that big to go to something perceived in this world that seems larger than life, to tell it to be spiritualized? Are you following me? Who am I? And we all ask that question. Who am I to think that I can make legitimate change in the world? Who am I to think that I think I'm better than someone, obviously. You're not better than anyone. It's our call for everyone to stand up and claim that, to ask that question, to say, am I? And to pick what you're going to be. And that's exactly what Moses does. And we all do it, don't we? I do it. We have this big picture, this goal in our mind. We have this want for peace in the world. We have this want to be spiritualized. And we always allow the world to say, who am I to choose this? God said, but I will be with you, and this shall be a sign from you. God doesn't push us. God is there where we're at, always allowing us to know that no matter where we're at, it's not going to push us to get that information, to shove the information down our throat. God will always tell us anywhere in our fear, in our flight, that it is with us. It won't demand that you are me. It'll just say, I am with you. Moses said to God, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your father has sent me to you. And they ask me, what is his name? What shall I tell him? I love that part. Isn't that what we always do? We're kind of at that end of losing the fight with God. I always find it interesting when I fight with God all the time. I don't know if you want to admit that, but I do. Because there's a part of me that thinks that I can outwit God. And that's what Moses is doing. All right, so you think you're so smart, God. Who am I supposed to say sent me? Tell me that. How many of us do that? There was a play a long time ago called Your Arms Are Too Short to Box with God. And even though I don't like the violent thoughts of God, boxing with God, a lot of times we struggle with that. I will give you this. We always think that our mind is too large, that our minds are so large we can outwit God. But I tell you this, that in this humanness, our minds are too limited to understand the expansive aspect of God. But that's only because of our own choosing, because we won't accept the truth that we are not separate. We don't claim the truth of who we are, that we are. And to make it easier for us, we are the sons and daughters of God. But the reality is we are God incarnate. And so what does God tell Moses to answer? God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites, I am has sent me to you. The reason why I brought out that in this translation it says that God said, this is what you are. Right within the scripture. I know the other aspect is to say to the Israelites, but this is an aspect, all of it is an aspect playing with you, that God is letting all of us know that no matter what we think of ourselves, it will gently and lovingly tell us that in the mirror, we should be seeing the truth. We should be claiming the truth. So next week, so the change of the talk title here is, Am I Claiming My Truth? Next week, the title that you have will be it. Because next week, we're going to talk about what claiming the I am actually means. How we can move from claiming the am I, the question, and to moving forward to standing in our truth as a statement of truth, I am. And then looking at how we're using that I am as the truth, or are we misusing the truth? With that, let us say our affirmation and denial for this week. Denial and affirmation. I am not bound by my limited thoughts of self. The Spirit of God is awakening me to all that I am. Let's say that again. I am not bound by my limited thoughts of self. The Spirit of God is awakening me to all that I am. So as you go through the week, that is the question I give you. Look at how you're using your am I and your I am, and we'll come back to this next week. Thank you, everyone.